Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. We're filling in for Freddie and Fitzsimmons tonight. There's breaking news tonight. There's a new lawsuit that alleges new Sacramento Kings coach Luke Walton sexually assaulted a woman sometime before being named the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in 2016. The lawsuit, first reported by TMZ and confirmed by the Los Angeles Times, alleges that Kelly Tennant, a former host of Spectrum Sportsnet LA, the Lakers regional sports network, received an unwanted physical advance by Walton at a Santa Monica hotel. Ramona Shelburne has put out there that no one had ever reported this to the Lakers, and when they parted ways, this accusation had nothing to do with the reason that they parted ways with Luke Walton. Now, the Kings have also issued a statement, and what they're saying right now is that we're aware of the report and are gathering additional information and have no further comment at this time. Jay, just like shocking news for sure. And this puts not just the Sacramento Kings in a very, very difficult situation, but the NBA overall.
We just try to figure out if there's a precedent for any of this, and I just can't come up with a name of a head coach in the NBA that has been accused of in a lawsuit of sexual assault or in a story like this. Usually, stories of this vein, as far as lawsuits or question marks about a head coach, usually is in the vein of college. Mm-hmm. The Larry Eustaches, the Bruce Pearls, the Rick Pitinos, the Dave Blisses, the Jerry Tarkanians. There are a number of coaches for that time, recruiting violations or things that they turned a blind eye to, some of these coaches in their programs, but not in the NBA. And a couple of things come to mind for me, Emmett. I'm just wondering how the Sacramento Kings look at this. I'm wondering how the Lakers look at this, because for a long time, you saw Luke Walton as a head coach for the Lakers and as someone that was with Golden State, have been around for a while. I'm just wondering how these organizations look at this story. Yes, there are allegations. There's, again, it's an accusation in this civil lawsuit, but again, we don't know a lot of information outside of what we're reporting here, and we just have to find out, you know, what the next step is. But I can't come up with another name quite like this. This is why this story is somewhat jarring.
Yeah, and I know, you know, this, just the time that we live in, we're very PR, you know, kind of sensitive society now. And we have seen, you know, maybe not in the NBA from as far as the head coach are concerned, but we have seen teams react to allegations and not necessarily convictions. We've seen that happen before, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure if the Kings will do that. I mean, look, they just hired him. So, I mean, if you fire him, there's still coaches out there. It's not like you're into the season and you're like, what's going on? So they actually still have some time to pick up another coach if they choose to go that route. And they could also say, hey, let's wait until we get the facts to make sure that he did do this and that these aren't just allegations, because we know these things can take a long time. We're still waiting to hear what's going on with Kristaps Porzingis and the incident that he had when he was with the Mavs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a story that, again, that's pending, that we still try to figure out what's going on with that when he's with the New York Knicks. But this story here, we hear from Ramona Shelburne, who's been writing about this and tweeting about it. Like, she says that team sources says that ESPN's Ramona Shelburne, that the alleged incident occurred before Walton joined the Lakers. No one ever reported it to the team, a source said. Now, again, this has happened while he was with the Lakers, right?
Yeah, it was right before he joined the Lakers.
Just so, right before he joined the Lakers.
Yeah, so I believe he was an assistant with the Warriors at the time.
But okay, so between those times, yeah. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm wondering how those organizations look at that particular story. But it's just when it came across our screens and we saw that, it was even today in 2019, stories like that is surprising.
He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. We had Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA reporter, on with us a little earlier in the show, and he talked about the statement and the lack thereof from Walton yet.
There's all sorts of ways this could go, Luke Walton has not released any sort of statement through himself or through a lawyer. And if the Kings were to find validity to the charges that are being made, of course, Luke Walton's job status with the Kings could be called into question.
And Dave continued to talk about this case and pointed out that there's a difference between a criminal case and a civil case.
To be clear, it's a civil lawsuit. As far as we know, there was not a police report filed at the time of the alleged incident, nor has there one been filed since. If there was some sort of arrest or something that's already occurred, you may assume the team would move quicker with a decision. But being that it's a civil lawsuit, I could see this being a longer process.
And the thing about another thing about civil lawsuits, not only do they take longer, historically, you need less burden of proof to win a civil suit than you do a criminal case. I mean, you can look at the O.J. Simpson trial. He was acquitted, of double murder, but he lost the civil suit to the Goldmans. So that there's precedent right there that, you know, even if there isn't a criminal conviction, you can still lose a civil lawsuit. So I don't know if the Kings will wait and see if they'll go the route of, hey, we're just want to gather as much. We've already heard them say, you know, we're waiting to gather as much information as we can. But how long will they wait until they make a move? It's a sticky situation for the Sacramento Kings.
Absolutely. And because from the King standpoint, he's in the building, he's their head coach, and even though these allegations coming out, the one thing that I want to underline what you said, Emmett, which makes a lot of sense, is that in these times, you have to do your due diligence as an organization and try to figure out, you know, what's best for the team. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you're a Sacramento Kings fan, you see the story coming out, and again, these are allegations. So now you decide, you know, how to move forward with someone that has this allegation in his past. And so if you're the Kings, he's your head coach. And now you figure out, okay, do you stand by him? You put him on ice until this is all over. How do you handle this? And again, this is not the National Football League where they do their investigation and they rule. Under Adam Silver, this is something a little bit different. So that's what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. And coming up next, the Bucks sweep Detroit to set up a battle with the Celtics. We'll talk about that coming up next. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You wouldn't settle for a 2-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. ESPN Radio is brought to you by MyComputerCareer.com, training for a better life. Quick update right now. The Houston Rockets have just taken a lead over the Utah Jazz, 57-55. There's 8.5 minutes left in the third quarter, and then Utah just answered with a 3 to take the lead. So Utah's up 58-57 with 8.5 minutes left.
Stop calling the entire game. Listen, you're not going to get paid any extra for calling the entire game.
Really? I was trying to get my Kevin Calabro on.
The Calabro life with a terrific voice. Hey, by the way, just a quick thing that I want you to follow. Have you ever followed the Patino game?
I have not.
Oh, man. Do hashtag Patino game. This is the great game done by our guy Amin El Hassan, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Look for Darth Amin. The Pitino game is pretty fun. When a team gets eliminated, he does like the whole Rick Pitino thing where he says, like, so-and-so's not going through that door. You know, Larry Bird's not coming through that door. So he does that with teams that got eliminated. And so he's going through, you know, the Pistons, and it's tremendous. Like, you know, Chuck Daly's not
Phillips.
You got to go like deep. You got to do some deep cuts. Okay. Like John Barry ain't coming through that door. Like Chuck Daly ain't coming through that door.
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Aaron McKee ain't walking through that door.
Isaiah Thomas, right?
Deep. You know, deeper cuts.
Wow.
Deeper. Yeah. Like Danny Manning ain't walking through that door because he was like former Pistons, but deeper cuts. Like that. You got to go do some like deep.
You know, you got to Google, huh?
Yeah. Sean Elliott ain't walking through that door.
There you go. Yes. Joe Barry Carroll ain't walking through that door. You know, just it's tremendous.
I'll have to check that out. Again, it's hashtag Patino game, correct?
Yes, you will love this. Tim Thomas ain't walking through that door. There's a lot of good ones. Like the Pacers got eliminated. I put Steve Stepanovich. That was the guy that was there for a minute. So he loved that. We retweeted that one. That's at Darth Amin to be part of the Patino game. Hashtag Patino game. It's pretty fun.
Have to check that one out. Earlier tonight, the Bucks completed their sweep of the Pistons. They won 127-104. After the game, we heard from Giannis with Fox Sports Wisconsin on about facing Boston in the next round.
Detroit gave you its best shot in the first and second quarters, and then you and your teammates took it to a completely different level in the second half. What was the difference?
I think we kept our composure the whole game. We played together. We knew that the Pistons were going to come out and play hard and set the tone, because that's what they're supposed to do. It's an elimination game. But we were able to stick together, play hard, and we knew once we get the lead, they're going to fold. And that's what we did.
I know you and your teammates have goals that go well beyond the first round, but this is your first playoff series win. What does that mean to you, and to do it in a sweep?
Feels good. No, it feels good, but we got to, you know, stay grounded on the floor, keep getting better. You know, each series, each game is going to be harder, and we just got to stick together, and hopefully we can advance in the second round.
Boston is waiting for you on the other side. What excites you about that rematch?
It's going to be exciting. You know, we definitely owe them something from last year. We're going to play hard, and it's going to be fun games to watch.
Now, the Bucks again take on the Celtics in round two. I don't know who's playing better ball right now, because the Celtics just dismissed the Indiana Pacers, and the Bucks did the same thing to Detroit. I don't know who's playing. Who do you think's playing the best basketball, the better basketball right now?
I don't know.
Maybe my expectations of Boston is the reason why I think they're playing a little bit better right now, because I didn't expect them to sweep the Pacers, even though they were shorthanded without Victor Oladipo. I expected Milwaukee to just run through Detroit. So for that reason, I think Boston's playing better right now, but I know I will be locked into this series. It is one of the best series in the second round that I think we're going to see, opposite Golden State and Houston, which seems pretty inevitable. Right.
Okay, Goldie, what if I told you neither? What if I told you neither? Because we cannot make up like what we learned from Milwaukee beating Detroit, and what did we learn from Boston beating Indiana? How about neither? How about this series will tell us all we need to know about who's playing the best? We know that the first round opponent was. So I have no idea. I watched both series, and what it looked like is I was watching 8 regular season games in February. That's what I looked at. Seriously.
No, that's for real. That's why I'm laughing. That's such an accurate way to describe it.
Yeah.
It literally was 8 regular season games.
Yeah. I don't want to give you like, I don't know, like, cause I know that's not, you know, you got to come up with some kind of hot take, which I don't do, but I'm just being honest. Like I didn't learn anything that I already didn't know about how good Milwaukee is from shooting from distance, how the attention to detail that you see from Boston, how meticulous they are defensively, how they are tied together, passing the ball from side to side. I saw a lot of that in regular season. So I didn't learn anything about either one of those teams. But I tell you one thing, Milwaukee against Boston with these two, we're going to find out. We're going to find out if the up and down style and the penchant for Milwaukee to shoot from the perimeter, will that be able to outgun and outdo a good, you know, fundamentally sound Boston Celtics team. We're going to find out. It's not Kyrie versus Giannis. That's not what this, I know that's how it's going to be billed. That's not what it is. It's just the styles of play will be very different with these two teams. That's what I'm looking forward to.
He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Emmett Golden. This is Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I actually do think it won't be one-on-one Giannis versus Kyrie because they play two different positions, so you don't expect to see that matchup a lot. But ultimately, if the Bucks win, we're going to give the love to Giannis. If the Bucks lose, we're going to probably blame Giannis and go, oh, hey, he couldn't, you know, he folded. You know, we're going to go there. Same thing with Boston. If Boston loses, everybody's going to go, whew, they got to the seventh game of the of the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving, and they lose in the second round with him. So it may not be one-on-one, but that's how we're going to ultimately make a hero or a GOAT out of. It'll be one of those two.
Yeah. I think that the Eastern Conference is in a very interesting time without LeBron James being part of the playoffs or part of the Eastern Conference. So Goldie, here's what I look at. I see the Bucks. I see the Celtics, the 76ers, the Raptors, and Brooklyn being the most interesting stories out of the Eastern Conference. You mentioned Toronto earlier. Toronto is a team with Leonard and with Siakam as a great 1-2 punch for the Toronto Raptors. And then from there, looking at the Sixers, question marks of whether or not that Jimmy Butler is going to return, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You've got one of the faces of the Eastern Conference in Embiid, a guy that just lights up the screen when you see him on the floor. But the thing is that I just think that teams like the Bucks, teams like the Celtics might have a little bit more upside. That's why this matchup is going to be more really interesting, because with the Sixers in particular, right? The Sixers with Embiid, I was watching the game the other day. I was just like, are you going to continue to try to feed the big man like it's 1994? I know he's much more skilled.
He can step out, too. Yeah,
understand,
he can step out,
too. But, man, come on. You're not running the offense through that dude.
All right, I mean, I'll say this, though. In the league where there aren't too many legitimate centers, don't they have the advantage on the block in that situation? I know it's played differently, but if you want to take advantage a few times a game, isn't it all right to at least go there? I wouldn't give it to him every possession in the post, but I like that mismatch.
That man tried to take it every single time in the post. I know that. I know he was. I was like, okay, this game's getting too old now.
Yeah.
Like it looked like Blake Griffin tonight trying to like backing guys in. I'm like, are you serious? You're down 10, backing guys out for twos. That high percentage two, thumbs up. High percentage two. Like, come on, man.
Ace bandages and rec specs, huh? That's what we're going back to.
Yeah, you better kick that ball out and try to do something, man. So I think the East is in a very interesting spot here. And of course, free agency in July 1st is going to tell all we need to know about who's going to go where. But these young and up-and-coming teams, it's fun. It's interesting to watch.
What's more compelling right now? These playoffs this year are what's going to happen in the offseason? Because for me, what's happening, the offseason way more compelling than the playoffs right now.
The social media aspect of the NBA and the players, the pettiness between teams and players, the off season, and then it comes to the games. That's what it's come down to. Yeah. Oh, July 1st is going to be fun. You remember, now keep in mind, I did a 7-hour show when Kevin Durant went to, when he left Oklahoma City, was it Travis? Yeah. When he left Oklahoma City to go to Golden State. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
7 hours. You don't have any other hosts where you work at? It's just you?
JD and I was on the network for 7 hours.
7 hours. Yeah. Wow.
That's not funny.
We had Jim Ross on. It was great.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I don't like Durantless Oklahoma.
Define great. It was not great. 7 hours is too much. If he does that again, oh.
Yeah, 7 hours is a long time.
That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. Oh, doesn't sound like fun.
Oh, it was fun. Oh, yeah. You didn't see the check.
Oh, all right, never mind. You're right. You're right. Absolutely. Coming up next, the Lakers, the Warriors, and the Kings have all issued statements on Luke Walton. We'll have the latest coming up next. I'm Emmett Golden. He is Jonathan Hood. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hi there, Julie Foudy here. ESPN was silly enough to give me the green light on a podcast, and it's called Laughter Permitted. We talk to these awesome trailblazers in sports about the joy and chaos of life, such as Kerry Walsh Jennings, Simone Biles, Mia Hamm. So get comfortable listening. Laughter Permitted, and so is Beth Singing. Support for Laughter Permitted comes from Ally. You wouldn't settle for a two-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all of our guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And it's time to head out to the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line and talk to Tanya Ganguly, who works for the LA Times. Tanya, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Now, we know that the Luke Walton story is developing, you know, just kind of broke tonight. What is the latest on this story?
Well, there's not really a latest. I mean, what happened was Kelly Tennant, a former host on Spectrum Sportsnet, filed a lawsuit today that alleged, made some accusations about Luke Walton and alleged that he had assaulted her in a hotel room. The date is unclear, but the lawsuit very specifically says that it happened while he was an assistant coach for the Warriors, and the Warriors were in Los Angeles playing the Lakers.
So why did you think that the Lakers and Warriors needed to put out a statement?
Well, the Lakers hired him after this incident allegedly happened. So if they had known about it, then they would have needed to, if they had known about it, it was relevant whether they considered that before hiring him. It was relevant, you know, I mean, they made a decision to hire him, and so that's why they needed to put out a statement. For the Warriors' perspective, they had a coach that was under their employ who's being accused of this, so that's why they needed to put out a statement.
You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. Tanya Ganguly is our guest, Lakers beat writer for the Los Angeles Times. Tanya, I know these accusations are still very fresh. What do you think of the statement that the Kings put out, and how should the Kings handle this in the short term?
I mean, it's pretty much the kind of statement you would expect. It's a pretty standard statement that a team releases when anything happens with somebody they're employing that they're going to need to look into and they're going to need to decide how to proceed on. I don't know what they'll do. I think they're conducting an investigation right now. And when they feel comfortable that they know what's happening, I think that's when they'll make a decision. You know, at this point, it's a lawsuit. It's not a criminal charge. And, you know, if they decide that the allegation was credible, then they're going to have to proceed in one way. And if they decide that it wasn't, then they're going to probably do nothing. So I think from the Kings' perspective, they just want to make sure that they know exactly what they're dealing with before saying anything, which is pretty standard in situations like this.
Tanya, there's really no precedent for this. We try to go through some of the stories from the past. I think in the NBA, from that standpoint, I haven't heard of an NBA head coach in this particular story. But you covered Houston because you've been on the program before talking about the Texans. And so from the NFL standpoint, how did Roger Goodell handle stories like this with players or personnel around teams?
I mean, it was always different. It depended on what exactly it was. And I mean, I don't recall covering, I was covering the league when there were sexual assault allegations happening. I'm sure there was something that I'm not thinking of right now, but typically what they would do is they would temporarily, there were times when they would suspend players for a little while. There's they had the commissioner's exempt list. I think that was the year that Ray Rice, they were dealing with what to do about Ray Rice. And so it was kind of the thing about the NFL was that it was kind of a case by case basis, and it was really up to the league what they wanted to do. And sometimes they acted based on what was available to the public. I remember in the Ray Rice situation in particular, they didn't do it. They really didn't do much until a video came out. And once the video came out and there was outrage about that, that's what they responded to. And that's happened in other in other cases as well. In the NBA, yeah, I don't remember this happening with a coach. It's not something that I've ever covered. So it'd be hard for me to say how they normally handle this.
Hey, Tanya, we know it was short notice. We really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight.
Yeah, no problem.
There she is, ladies and gentlemen, Tanya Ganguly. She covers the Lakers for the Los Angeles Times.
One of the questions that we didn't get a chance to ask, is she, because I know her time is limited, she's still working on the story.
Mm-hmm.
In when there's stories like this away from sports, when it comes to the sexual allegations, stories like this, the question that comes to mind is, well, this happened. What's the timeline of this? 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So 3 years ago. And so then you ask, why 3 years? And so there's always an explanation of why the victim the alleged victim in this spot feels like they can't be believed, or, no one's going to believe the story, or should I come forward? Those kind of things. So those questions still in my mind as well, because even outside of the sports realm that we're talking about, we hear cases of women coming forward, years after the fact, to be able to claim the story that they want to tell.
Yeah. And, it even feels to me sometimes like to even ask the question, why did she wait 3 years? It almost, a lot of times some people will take that as you're not being sensitive to the victim.
Blaming.
I don't think that's the case. I just think it's a question. I'm sure there's a legitimate answer, but when a lot of times when that question gets asked, it's like, oh, you don't believe her and it's like, no, I'm not saying that, just wondering. I think it's a legitimate question without blaming the victim,
Well, Emmett, we as we segue back to the NBA playoffs clumsily, but we have to take a look at this story, too.
Mm-hmm.
It is an NBA story with the Houston Rockets. I told you the Rockets would have another run as Houston leads the series 3-0. Houston up 3 now in Salt Lake against the Jazz.
Yeah, you did tell me that. Earlier, I go, yeah, look at the Jazz. They're up. And you said, just wait. just wait. Just wait for it.
We talk so much about what Golden State has, right? Mm-hmm. With Houston, we'll never know the answer. But there's always that question of, if Chris Paul's healthy, are the Rockets getting past the Warriors? We'll never know that answer because Chris is always hurt at the wrong time. Unfortunately for him, right? Like it just, but this is what happens when you are a veteran in the league, in the autumn of your career, you've been playing, you had a lot of mileage in that body, so it's hard for him to stay healthy. You can do the, sit him out for a few days here and there, have that maintenance and stuff, but you just never know when the wrong injury will happen. And so Houston has the best shot. There is no question. And anybody show that you do, Emmett, that like who's the closest? It's Houston's the closest.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they're the best, but they're the closest because of their ability to shoot the ball from the outside. There are sharp shooters with Thompson and Curry, with Kevin Durant, with others off the bench that can knock down threes. But so can the Rockets. They have plenty of shooters. I mean, what's the hallmark of Rockets basketball? Threes and layups.
Yep.
That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have a guy like James Harden who can score with anybody in the NBA. I actually don't know if anyone can score with him in the NBA to kind of look at it differently. Speaking of looking at things, we will look ahead to tomorrow's NBA playoff games. That is coming up next. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. You're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You wouldn't settle for a 2-star spin class or personal trainer, would you? So why settle for a bank that treats you just like another number? Ally knows you deserve better, and their mission is to be just that. And with Ally Bank, you'll get interest rates up to 20 times the national average. You can chat with real people 24/7, and they won't nutmeg you with hidden fees. Ally's team actually cares about doing right by you and your money. So go to ally.com for more. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. I'm Emmett Golden alongside Jonathan Hood, and there is more NBA news coming out there.
Yes.
Phoenix, they fired their head coach. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Indeed. Igor Kokoskov has found the axe
as you're a real friend, by the way. I want to let you know that. I appreciate
Oh, yeah.
You.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I cover the league. Right. So, Igor
I cover the Cavs.
So, Igor Kokoskov, fired by the Phoenix Suns. We were just talking before the during the break here. It just seems to me, this is scan-worthy, Travis, so here we go. I think this will never make it because it's Igor, but I will just tell you this. Basquiel, if you can use this tonight for scan, I'm just telling you right now that there is a disconnect between the NBA and international coaches to be able to be a head coach. You covered David Blatt with Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Kokoskov comes over as the coach for Phoenix. When will the international coach be able to have a say and be able to have a long tenure in the NBA? There was a disconnect from the jump with Kokoskov. That's a young Phoenix team on the rise, and they fired their coach. You cannot continue to start from the beginning over and over again by firing these coaches 1, 2, 3 years or less. You have to have them establish themselves. But Blatt, you covered him.
Yeah, I agree with you. So Blatt's issue was that he looked at himself as, hey, I've been coaching professional basketball for years. You know, he was overseas. Now, the rest of the guys in the locker room and even LeBron was like, hey, rookie head coach here. And they never could get on the same page. I remember the first game that the Cavaliers won as David Blatt as a head coach. They dumped like ice water on him in the locker room, and he wasn't on that. And Blatt was like, what are you talking about? This isn't my first win. And they're like, yeah, yeah, you know, and he almost pushed back. And I think that kind of started the whole like, hey, like, you haven't won in the NBA. It's different. But Blatt wanted that respect that an NBA coach would have, and he didn't get it off the top. And I think that hurt him there. But you're right that if you're going to go overseas and get a coach, you're going to have to stick with them for a few years. One and done is not enough.
See, basketball is basketball. But apparently in the NBA, if you have international experience, you come over, and I guess it's not good enough. And it should be good enough. I just don't believe that coaches should be let go after a year unless they're a complete disaster, like Jerry Tarkanian with the Spurs. Jerry Tarkanian once, when he came from UNLV, all that controversy, mm-hmm. right? All that cheating at UNLV, right?
Right.
Comes to the coach of San Antonio Spurs. He burnt through all of his timeouts in the first quarter, and they said, coach, you know there's 20s in this league, right? And he goes, what? So,
20 seconds. Yeah, what are you talking about?
So, you know, it's just one of these things where if it's not a fit, it's not a fit. But I just think that coaches should be able to have a longer tenure.
I agree. I agree with you for sure. Like, listen, basketball is basketball, right? Pat Summitt, I know she didn't coach overseas, you know, but she's a legendary college head coach.
Mm-hmm.
She can coach basketball. Like, she could coach in the NBA. The problem is whether it's, you know, a woman or a coach from overseas, it's will the players. And I think the players would have respected Pat Summitt because they knew of her legacy. These guys come from overseas. They could win 1,000 Euro Cups or whatever. That doesn't mean anything to an NBA player because they don't see them. You know, they don't see them on SportsCenter. They don't watch the games overseas. So to them, these coaches don't know a whole lot. I think that's the biggest problem with coaches trying to come from overseas and coaching the NBA.
So there you go, Suns. A good young Suns team. DeAndre Ayton, remember him? Remember mm-hmm. he was that hot name? Remember?
Yeah.
Now they got to deal with yet another head coach, another philosophy. It just stunts the progress of a team when you continue to just fire coaches in this league. It's just too much.
It's another reason why I'm not so sure tanking works. Because there are a lot of teams that have been tanking forever. I mean, it seems like the Suns have been tanking for a while, and they've gotten mm-hmm. high draft picks, but they're still in the lottery. You know, they're still a top in lottery team. And I get it. If you draft right, then sure, you know, you should progress and then have salary cap room and be able to do all this stuff, much like the 76ers did. You know, they kind of accumulated the draft picks and they used them. They hit on some, and then they went and made a move to get Jimmy Butler. And now, you know, I don't know if they're necessarily contenders, but they're a upper echelon Eastern Conference team. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I got a name in mind. I think that it's pretty simple that the Suns should hire Dan Majerle, who's doing a great job at Grand Canyon. I think that's just a no-brainer that you ask him, is he interested?
That's a home run right there. Why, I don't know why they wouldn't do that. I'd like the Cavaliers to hire Mark Price, but that's never going to happen. Now, I've kind of given up on that. Mark Price, my favorite player of all time.
He coached in college, right?
Yeah, he coached Charlotte. Yeah, and out of nowhere, they fired him. Out of nowhere. Like, there was really no rhyme or reason given when they let him go. He's been a shooting coach in the NBA, you know, a great shooter in his time, one of the best free throw shooters of all time. And he's a guy that, you know, I'm sure would like to get back into coaching. But I'm surprised that more teams don't go back to alumni, so to speak, that have, you know, coaching aspirations. I'm surprised they don't.
I don't mind having Mark Price / Brad Daugherty and some of the classic Cavs on the bench. Just remember one thing. You hire the legend, you fire the legend.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
You can hire him.
And the Cavaliers don't want me to do the show when they fire Mark Price. They don't want that. I ain't even the guy to really, you know, put out that much smoke, but I'd be fired up if they had to fire Mark Price. Well, speaking of the Cavs, you're listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio in the Golden alongside Jonathan Hood. There was a report that came out that Rick Pitino had been contacted by the Cavs. Now, that has since been refuted. Chris Fyodor, Cleveland.com, put out a story. It said a source with the team told him, "We are respectfully not interested in him at all. No conversations with him by Dan or anyone else." So that's the statement from a source within the team. You know what I think happened, Jay? I think, you know, the Cavaliers sat down, they game plan, they came to a consensus, and they said, we want an up-and-coming NBA assistant, someone who has developed players and that can grow with our franchise. And Dan Gilbert was like, yeah, that sounds great. Then he was, you know, like me one night up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching Sade concerts, and he said, you know what, I need a name, bro. I cannot sit here and hire some guy I never heard of. And he probably texted or called Rick, and I think maybe Rick didn't answer because the time zone is different since he's overseas right now, mm-hmm. And that's how it all started. I know what the Cavs are saying because, again, Peter Vesey put that out, that the Cavaliers had reached out to Pitino. A source within the team has since refuted that report, but I could totally see that happening.
Peter Vesey?
Yeah.
Anyway, so
is that I was just trying to credit it. You know,
no, that's cool.
That's all I was trying to do.
I wonder, did you get that from 1992? Is that where you got that report from?
Yeah, on my AOL. It was in my AOL email. On my dial-up connection. Yeah, that's where I found it.
Okay, I kid about Messi, but I Rick should not be coaching anywhere as far as college or pro. That's enough. You can't you tell Mike Greenberg that I'm not coaching anymore, I'm done, and then next thing you know, you're in Greece. Like, get out of here, man. Get out of here. You're toxic, quite frankly. You're toxic. Yeah. And the resume speaks for itself. That's enough. It's not like that Rick doesn't know basketball, but you quit and then you go back into it, and it's, you know, you want to be in the spotlight, stay over there. Stay over there. But the idea that he's going to coach again in America, NBA, or college, he has a right to. I just wouldn't hire him. That's the point.
I wouldn't hire him either. I mean, you have a young team. You know, I think you want a coach that could grow with the team other than a coach that's kind of stuck in his ways. And I believe that Pitino is. Tomorrow, there's a huge slate of games in the NBA playoffs. You have the Magic and the Raptors, the Nets and the 76ers, Spurs and Nuggets. That's tied 2 games apiece. And then the Thunder and the Trailblazers at 10:30. How many of the series end tomorrow? There are three of which have teams facing elimination.
Well, I think that the Trailblazers should knock out the Thunder tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Magic will get their bags packed against the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
I want the Sixers and Nets to play forever.
Me too.
Not seven, forever.
Me too. I want some more fights. That's what I'm looking forward to. Pushing.
I'm so impressed with that Nets team, man. That is a team that just tied together. I love that team. I think they've done a terrific job. So I love to see that. So I don't want that to end, if possible. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm there with you. I work pretty much on the same thing. We just know that the Spurs and the Nuggets will not end tomorrow as they are tied 2 games apiece. Jonathan, it's been fun, man, as always, doing the show with you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, keep it locked right here because SportsCenter All Night is coming up next. You've been listening to Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth, you think you can solve any problem by turning your computer off and on.
Hey man, is something wrong with your laptop?
Nah, just need to turn it off and on. It's no problem.
It's smoking.
Yeah, that just means it needs to reboot.
Truth, it's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
And now it's on fire.
Happens all the time. It's all good.
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.